Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We're going to be hopefully beginning the book of Genesis soon, because if you want to understand the Bible, you got to understand Genesis, and things are built on that. And you say, well, I'd like to know more about Jesus. Well, good, we're going to study the book of Genesis. And Jesus is right there at the creation, and even before the creation, he is there. And so we're going to be looking at the book of Genesis together. But I wanted us this morning, by way of introduction, to answer the question, why do we study the Bible? Why? Why do we study the Bible? Years ago, I was pastoring a church on Cape Cod up in Massachusetts. And our church was growing. And people were coming, and coming from several towns around ours, and we were out of space in the place we were renting. The church didn't have any property and didn't have any buildings, and we were renting space, and we ended up having to run our Bible study on Sunday morning in four different locations simultaneously in order just to accommodate the different people. And we had a lot of young couples with young kids, and so we asked a nearby church just right down the street from where we had rented property, we asked them if we could please use their preschool area to have a preschool place for our little kids. And they said, well, we'd love for it to be used. Sure, you can do it. We'll let you use it for free. So we used it for free. We took good care of it, kept everything clean and straight. They were very pleased with us in that regard. But they had a meeting of their officers and commissioned the pastor to call me to ask me a question. And he did. And his question was, what are you doing to attract all these people? They come and they spend all that time, hours, at your church. What are you doing all that time? And I said, we're studying the Bible. And he said, really? And I said, yes. He said, why would they be interested in the Bible? He was not making fun. He was serious. He really wanted to know. Why would they be interested in the Bible? And I said, well, we start with the premise that it's true. Oh, interesting. And you see, he started with the premise that it's not true. It's just an old book. Well, if the Bible's just an old book, then there's no point in wasting time on it, okay? I mean, it's just one of many books, and you might prefer Shakespeare. You might prefer the Iliad and the Odyssey. You might prefer any number of other things. But the idea that you need to understand as to why we study the Bible is that we study with the premise that it's true. The Bible is true. If you look at our statement of faith, what we believe here as a community, the first statement we make is about the Bible, and it says this: the Bible is God's word. It contains truth without any mixture of error. We accept its authority over every area of our lives. Through it, we come to know God as revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. There are some things in the Bible that we may not fully understand, but as we study, we can always learn more. That's the first thing in our statement of faith. And you need to understand that. So I'm going to talk with you about that for just a minute. Then we're going to look at five reasons why we study the Bible. And they're related to this first statement. But five reasons why we study the Bible. In this statement of faith, we say the Bible is God's word. Okay? It's not man's word. It's not just man's opinion. It's not just some ancient thought. I've heard preachers, more than one, say that the Bible is a record, it's an accumulated record of what various people have thought about God down through the centuries. Well, it is a record of what various people have thought about God down through the centuries. That certainly is one of the things that the Bible is containing. But I'll tell you something else. The Bible tells us what God has thought about God down through the centuries. Okay? It tells us what's true. It certainly has an historical record of various things, including a record of the fact that there have always been fools around who didn't believe in God, and there have been other people called idolaters who kind of create their own God in their own minds and may make statues or they may just have bad concepts, but in any case, they're not worshiping the God who is God. They're worshiping a God that they've dreamed up. Because the heart of man has always been the same. It's deceitfully wicked. But the Bible doesn't just give us a record of what people have thought about God. It tells us what God says about himself. The Bible is God's word. In 2 Peter chapter 1, we read this. We have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Men spoke from God. This is a message from God. And they spoke as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, God himself, is the one who made this happen. He's the one who gave us his word. This is why we know these things are true. Matter of fact, back in the book of Jeremiah, God says this, let the prophet who has a dream tell his dream, but let the one who has my word speak it faithfully. For what has straw to do with grain, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? God's word is not like the words of men. God's word is pure and powerful. It is alive. It is true, completely true. It contains truth without any mixture of error. There are no lies mixed in. There are no mistakes mixed in. God's word contains truth without any mixture of error. And so we accept its authority over every area of our lives. God's word tells us how we're to live. Whether it has to do with how we earn our money or how we spend our money, God's word is the authority. Whether it has to do with how we treat our children or how we treat our parents or how we treat our neighbor or how we treat ourselves, all these things are addressed in God's word. How we treat the planet. Was that an ecology statement? Yes. God created everything. God owns everything. One of the things that God says in the book of Revelation he's going to punish people for is for destroying the planet. Well, I thought it was all going to be destroyed anyway. It is going to be destroyed. But you're not God, and you're not supposed to be the one doing it. So are you one of these tree-hugging people? The only time that I grabbed a tree in what could be described as a hug was when I was sliding down a hill. Okay? I do have a fondness for trees. My last name is Wood, and I really love trees. But I'm trying to take care of the planet, not save it. Okay? I'm trying to be a good steward. That means I'm responsible for the care of what belongs to someone else. This is my Father's world. And so I have a responsibility, whether with recycling or when I'm dealing with chemicals like oil that comes out of my car, I can't just go down and pour that in the creek. Okay? That would be bad. It would be irresponsible to my neighbors and to the environment itself, even the creatures. The righteous man cares for his beast. Do you know that the Bible says how you take care of your pets matters to God? If you are cruel to them, if you're cruel to animals, if you want to see things suffer, that's sick. That's evil. God is displeased with that. The Bible addresses everything, and what he says about that is the way it is. You and I don't have the option of saying, well, I've always done it this way. I grew up in a family where we do it this way. I've always been short-tempered. I've always been a worrier. In our family, we just say what we have to calm things down. We're not as worried about telling the truth. Okay? So we accept God's authority, and therefore we accept the Bible's authority over every area of our lives. Through it, we come to know God as revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. We're going to say more about that in just a moment. But through the Bible, we come to know God as revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. There are some things in the Bible that we may not fully understand. I am in my 60s. I have known the Lord a long time. I've been studying the Bible a long time. I still don't understand it all. And if you ever meet somebody who thinks they understand it all, they do not. Okay? One of the things the Bible says is now we see as in a glass darkly. We see things, but not with total clarity. We understand things. In fact, it says in that same passage, 1 Corinthians 13, now we know in part. Then we shall know fully. Okay? Right now, we don't understand everything. And there are some things in the Bible we may not fully understand. But as we study, we can always learn more. So why do we study the Bible? Five reasons. Number one, God is speaking. We need to listen. Now, there are actually some people who believe the Bible is true, but when they hear me say that God is speaking, they get nervous. Because what they want to emphasize is the fact that we have a closed canon, that is, the Bible is complete, God is not still adding to it. And so they don't want me to say God is speaking, they want me to say God has spoken. Well, you're right. God has spoken. It is settled once and for all. This is his word. But one of the things his word tells us is that through his word, he is still speaking. His word is alive. It's alive. So God has spoken and he has told us that he is speaking through his word. God is speaking. And therefore, we need to listen. We study the Bible because God is still speaking today through his word. In Hebrews chapter 4:12, it says that the word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It cuts down deep. God's word is powerful. It is alive. He's speaking right now. His word changes things. I cannot count the number of times in my own life when my path has been radically changed, redirected, because God's word came to me through the scriptures. And God spoke to me and redirected me and showed me what I needed to do. God's word is alive. It's living. And God is therefore speaking to us now, and we need to listen. That's why we study the Bible. The second reason is that the Bible is, as we said earlier, entirely true. It is completely trustworthy. Therefore, we need to believe it. We not only need to listen and see what God says, we need to believe what God says. What if you hear what God says, but you say, you know, I'm not sure. James 1 describes that as being a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. He's not going to receive from God. He's not going to have wisdom. He's not going to know what to do because he doesn't know if he can really count on God to tell the truth. What is your attitude toward the Word of God? When we study Genesis together, one of the things we're going to see is that the first time Satan shows up in the story, he's questioning the Word of God. Did God really say that? Well, that's not true. Satan is still playing the same tricks today, trying to get people to doubt the Word of God. Did he really say that? Are you sure that's the Word of God? Well, you can't really count on that. That's not really so. That's not the way it is. It is the way it is. God's Word is true. It is fully trustworthy, and therefore we need to believe it. All Scripture is God-breathed, says in 2 Timothy 3:16. And it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. When we say we need to believe the Bible challenges us. It shows us where we're out of line. When we read it and study it, it says, you're off. It's too far to the left. It's too far to the right. It's too high, too low. You're not hitting the target. Imagine if I went to do archery up here at the range, at the bullseye, and I took an arrow out of my quiver and I pulled it back and I let it go. And I got a foot over to the left and I said, move the target over to the left a little bit. No. You don't move the target. You change your aim. You change the way that you shoot the bow. For goodness sake, people, God's Word challenges all of us and says, you're not doing that right. That's not the way you're supposed to be living. You need to do this. And you and I need to come to God's Word, studying it, prepared for God, who is still speaking, to say to us, that's not right. You need to do this. Stop believing the enemy's lies. Start believing what God says. His Word is true. It's trustworthy. And you and I are challenged by it, and we need to repent and change. The third thing is that as we study the Bible, it has the power to actually change our minds. It not only calls us to change, to exercise our wills, volitionally say, I will do this instead of what I've been doing, but it actually has a cleansing and changing and curative effect on our minds. It's kind of like getting glasses. I need help sometimes to see. And God's Word helps us to see. The Bible says that we need to become wise. And in Psalm 19, verse 7, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. His statutes, the statutes of the Lord, are trustworthy, making wise the simple. In other words, it can take a person who's not real bright and give them wisdom. You can receive wisdom from God without being brilliant intellectually. You can be wise because God's Word will make the simple person wise. And I have known people who did not test out with a real high IQ who were much wiser than some people with real high IQs. Okay? I've had friends with Down syndrome who had wisdom. They knew right and wrong. They knew God. They believed His Word. And I've known people with more than one PhD who were fools. absolute fools according to the biblical definition, because the fool has said in his heart there is no God. So the Bible, we study it because it changes our minds and makes us wise. The fourth reason is because the Bible is God's tool for helping us get to know Jesus. And we need to know him better. In John 5:39, Jesus speaks to a group of people who studied the Bible a lot, but they didn't study it the right way, and as a result, they were rejecting him as Messiah. And Jesus says to them, you search the scriptures, John 5:39, you search the scriptures because you think that in it you have eternal life. But these scriptures testify about me. The Pharisees longed, they said, for Messiah to come. But when he came, they didn't believe. If you don't study the scriptures in order to know Jesus better, you're not studying the scriptures properly. I'm telling you, if you want to know him, he's ready to be known. The heavens are proclaiming the glory of God, and the earth shows what he's like. In fact, in Romans 1, we read that people are without excuse when it comes to the knowledge of God, because through the creation, God has made certain things about himself inescapably obvious. And the only reason people don't know there's a God is because they determine in their hearts that they don't want that to be true. It's not because the evidence isn't there. The evidence is constantly saying there is a God. He is wise. He is powerful. And so anybody who doesn't know that, it's because they're covering up their eyes and stopping up their ears and determined not to face the truth. The author will meet with us and he will teach us and help us to understand what we need to know. He won't necessarily tell us everything we want to know right off. But our goal here as we study the Bible is not just for you to know more stuff about God. Our goal is for you to really come to know God. We want you to know him. Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11 says, that I may know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, even being made conformable to his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection. The apostle Paul, who knew Christ, said that his great longing and goal in life was to know him more. Oh, yeah, I know him. Yeah, I know him. No, he wanted to know him more. Do you want to know Christ? Do you want to know him more? If you know him, you'll want to know him more. So we study the Bible because God's promised to show up when we do. And he's here right now. And he's speaking to you. And you need to believe what he says. And you need to let him challenge the way you think. And you need to let him give you wisdom. And you need to know Jesus and know him better. That's why we do this each morning. That's why it's important enough that we want everybody to come. Because this is how we get to know God better. And I promise you this. You'll never get to the point where, okay, got it. Now I don't need that anymore. There's always more to learn.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at wvr.org. That's wvr.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
www.pastorwood.org.